You're listening to the Arctic Circle podcast. In this episode, we learn about the Helsinki Security Forum, held for the first time in 2022. First, a speech from Her Excellency Þórdís Kolbrún Reykfjörð Gylfadóttir, Minister for Foreign Affairs of Iceland, followed by a discussion between Samu Pekkonen, Deputy Director and Director of Administration of the Finnish Institute of International Affairs, and Irmas Payet, Member of the European Parliament and Chair of the EU Parliament Arctic Friendship Group. The session is chaired by Tero Vauraste, Senior BT Advisor of ISAI and Global Fellow of the Woodrow Wilson Centre. This event originally took place at the 2022 Arctic Circle Assembly in Reykjavik, Iceland.
A very good evening, everyone. We've heard an excellent presentation from NATO. We've heard Chinese remarks, and we will mirror those and echo those in light of the recent Helsinki Security Forum, which took place in Helsinki 3 weeks ago. This was the first Helsinki Security Forum organized by the Finnish Institute of International Affairs. And today with me is the Deputy Director, Mr. Samu Paukkonen, who was one of the founders of this event. However, Helsinki has been a fora for international big events for decades. So we hope to continue that legacy in light of this forum, which had 130 experts from around the world. With me today is also a member of the European Parliament, Mr. Urmas Paet from Estonia. Welcome, Urmas, to foster the dialogue today. I will set the scene with a few questions and outcomes from the Helsinki Security Forum, and then let my colleagues to get their remarks. For your commentary, please have your cell phones ready. Get the application over here, and you are welcome to dial in and type your questions over there. I'll be having them on my cell phone and be able to reflect those to the panel here, thanks to Ted Stevens Center of helping with this application. So going to the Helsinki Security Forum, the topic was Northern European security redone. We are in a major war who nobody believed that will be in the world, in the Europe again. But a society worth defending is a society which has a good design that is able to get the aggressor out. So now we need to face the influence of that and also to see what's going to be the approach of Beijing. Will they approach Moscow? What's going to happen in Taiwan? Will there be a Taiwan effect? Or will they be withdrawing from what's happening in Russia and taking a position on that? So what is the Europe's role in an increasingly dichotomized and competitive world? How can international law and organizations help us to face transnational and interconnected challenges? How will Russia's strategic posture and activity be evolving in the Arctic? How will NATO position itself in the Arctic to deter and counter Russian aggression? How is Europe doing as the energy balance has been severely disturbed? And are the sanctions really functioning? We also heard a word from the minister considering the potential of Nordic defense collaboration, Nordefco. So with this, over to you, Urmas.
Thank you very much. And well, good evening or good afternoon. I spoke around 4 years ago on one of the conferences also dealing with Arctic issues. And when I put into the same sentence two words, Arctic and security, then lots of people in the audience were very angry on me. 4 years ago, they told me, how come it is possible that on the Arctic issues you will speak about that you spoke about security issues? Arctic has nothing to do with security. Arctic is, was, and will be calm and peaceful area, which has nothing to do with security. Although, already 4 years before, 2014, actually the Russian aggression against Ukraine started. But still, for most of people, everyday's life, everyday's cooperation, also in Arctic, was like business as usual, like nothing happened. But the war didn't start it this year. The war started 2014. And yes, today here we speak very much about security, and with good reason. Because if you look objectively, then I guess that the impact of Russian aggression against the Ukraine, if you look all possible regions in Europe, but also globally, the strongest impact of this war is on Arctic. Because if you look who wants to be as a member of NATO, two Arctic countries, Finland and Sweden. If you look at the only international organization which is actually now completely paralyzed, de facto, it's Arctic Council. If you look how rapidly increased the amount of different military exercises in Arctic, on Russian side, but also on NATO side. If you look where is Russia with their military spendings in Arctic area, then already, yes, it's true, they started already like 15 or more years ago, but it's still very high amount of spendings what they're doing in Arctic, and question always has been, why? If you speak that Arctic is always so calm area, then why to increase military spendings in Arctic area? If you also look at the fact that big amount of Russian nuclear armament, nuclear bombs, are in Arctic, and so on and so on. So that's why I say that, we here in Europe, had to be much more cautious and to put much more attention on these security developments which already happened here in Arctic many years ago. But the more today we have to be active, I mean Europe, I mean actually all, well, democratic countries in the world. There has also been discussion about, China's or Chinese role in Arctic. First, of course, we all know that China is not Arctic country, although they describe themselves now as near Arctic country, which is also quite a new, interesting development. But at the same time, if you look that for Arctic and Arctic countries, at least from European side, international law and UN charter always have been very important elements. Then unfortunately these days, China is together with Russia. If you look at the votes in the UN Security Council, if you look at the votes in the UN General Assembly, what concerns this harsh violation of international law and UN charter, what Russia is doing, then unfortunately we see the voting pattern also of this huge country, which is not supporting international law and UN charter. So that in this regard, I guess that it is absolutely vital that finally all democratic countries, we here in Europe, our allies in America, plus all the third countries, also in Asia, who really care about international law and UN charter, we have to do much more cooperation, and finally, I hope the level of naivety here in Europe is much lower than it was 4 years ago about one regime which is against human values and international law actually can create. We also have to speak these days about energy, because we all see that there are huge problems with energy supply. And Arctic, in this sense, is very rich in classical way, because around 30% of the gas in the world still is somewhere in Arctic. But at the same time, we also didn't put enough, I guess, attention to the renewables. Arctic, in this sense, is very rich and can deliver a lot. But here again, we have to find very quickly, also here in Europe, the balance point between all these energy needs and, on the other hand, all the risks which are there for Arctic environment, and push also much more attention and put much more attention to the, well, renewables in this Arctic area, so that Arctic in this sense can deliver in good sense much more to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world. So that to stop my monologue here, coming from the European Parliament, I really hope that also the European Commission and the European Council will take much more seriously all Arctic-related developments. And we in Europe, in this sense, will put much more efforts to secure Arctic, especially, of course, European Arctic, as much as we can.
Thank you very much, Urmas. There's been a call also during this event to make at least an update or a renewal of the Arctic strategy of the European Union.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, the northern dimension doesn't exist anymore. Which brings us to the discussions which we had in Helsinki Security Forum considering the energy developments. We saw what happened a few weeks ago on the Baltic Sea somewhere, and there was a discussion also around some Western politicians being very supportive to the Russian developments in the energy sphere. But what's your take on all this, and what's our take from the Helsinki Security Forum on these questions, please?
Thanks, Tero, and thank you for the invitation. Really good to be back here. I have to start with a confession. I have been envious of Arctic Circle. It is seldom that we have these kind of discussions that we have heard during these past couple of hours. This is why our group at the Finnish Institute of International Affairs thought that we would try to bring Arctic community together in Helsinki. This planning was done a year ago. The idea was that we would somehow be engaged in the hard security discussion, from research to researcher, trying to find ways to mitigate risks, lessen tensions. But then February 22 happened. The Russian large-scale invasion to Ukraine happened. What it led to was a series of consequences that Russia was not waiting for. Europe coming together, NATO solidifying its actions in Helsinki. It led to an immediate action, as everyone saw that neither international legislation or national borders can stop Russia from pursuing its revisionist policies. This changed also the Helsinki Security Forum and the topic. We needed to somehow also focus from research side, from analytical point of view, what this change when Finland and Sweden applied for NATO will mean for the region. And this was the essence of our discussions in Helsinki a couple of weeks ago. Mr. President, I would like to issue an invitation for you to attend our next year conference, if you accept the invitation. No need to answer at this point, but we would love to have you there. But coming back to the Arctic, this is where we see the effects of the Finnish and Swedish pending NATO playing out. When at some point Finland and Sweden are going to be members in NATO, it is going to create a single strategic space in the European North, a space that hasn't been there. Of course, militaries have been exercising there, especially the air forces have conducted weekly operations, exercises between Finland, Norway and Sweden. But the pending membership will also increase the deterrence in itself already. The ground forces can operate and practice more in the region. And this will also have an effect to the deterrence of the northern Europe. What is of concern to me is that the war we now see in Ukraine has consequences globally, with all the neighboring countries with regard to Western countries. I do believe that the Arctic and the meaning of the Arctic is going to be even more strategic question for Russia. It is the only possibility for them to project force on that level that they theoretically have. If we are then coming back to the outlook part, where we see things evolving from here on, the Arctic security landscape has already changed. Russia has to take this into consideration in their own planning. I'm probably hedging a bit, but I could see that Russia will be pursuing more the nuclear card, more of the hybrid card in the Arctic region, as its conventional power is now within Ukraine and near the Ukrainian regions. This is something that we have to take into consideration also in our planning, where we do see the deterrence gaps in the future. NATO is a big part of the solution, but it isn't the whole answer. And here also the European Union has a role to play. But I think this is just a short take, and we can continue from the discussions.
Excellent. Thank you very much for those remarks. We're getting excellent questions from the audience. Thank you for those, and please keep them coming. So let's get back to China. You both addressed the question of China, and the most wanted question here is that do you see China as the preeminent peacemaker in the world? So Urmas, perhaps first over to you.
No.
Next question.
Because if you look at the facts, I guess that the same very strong indicator at this stage is the same what I already mentioned. How the countries are voting at the moment on the aggression against Ukraine in the United Nations, both especially Security Council, and there, of course, China has a special responsibility because of the veto power, but also in General Assembly. And we all can check how the votes have been, and if you really want to be peacemaker, then you cannot accept so harsh violation of human rights and international law.
What's Samuel's take on this from the Helsinki Security Forum? So what's our outcome from the discussion considering China from there?
I think the attention was 99% with the Ukraine and Russia and the effects from there onward. But I must concur with my dear neighbor from south that I don't see China playing the role that it could possibly play.
Right. Okay. Then the next one is back to the nuclear weapons, which has been addressed here as well. So I would rephrase this question a bit and address it to, like, take a European Union perspective. Considering the real danger of a disastrous use of nuclear weapons, which measures are you, I would say the European Union now at the moment, currently taking or considering, aside from joining NATO, which is put aside now because that's for Sweden and Finland, but what's your take on this from the European Union perspective, please?
Well, I guess that basically there can be only one very principled position, and it is that Ukraine must restore control over its own territory and sovereignty. Only then the real risk of using nuclear weapon will be low again. As long as the war continues, as long as Russian aggression in Ukraine continues, then, well, because of obvious reasons, the risk is there.
Right. Samu, you have been researching quite a lot of war escalation, so this will be two questions remaining, and I will address this to you. There has been the fear of a war over the Arctic, but the territorial claims are clear. However, what is your take on the risk of escalation in military tension in the Arctic due to deteriorating relations among the major powers over disputes arising elsewhere? So, the escalation in the Arctic.
Yeah. I would still first try to answer the first part of the question. I can't see a situation where Russia is at the same time abusing international law and legislation and demanding economic zone enlargement that is provided by the UNCLOS agreement and by UN. So this just cannot be the case, as it comes to the possible escalation in the Arctic region. I do think that thus far, both Russia and the Western countries, mainly Norway, and the US have been playing the game quite cleverly. In the cold response 22 exercise, Russia didn't display that kind of aggressive posture that at least I was waiting for. So they were being active, trying to limit at least this kind of escalation in this situation of war. In the future, really, really difficult to predict if the aggressive posture is going to be there. If Russia is conducting that kind of exercises that is conducting in the region, if it's going to be as aggressive, if it's going to continue playing its role as a spoiler nation, there has to be quite good planning. There has to be the understanding that the deterrence is going to be built, as was informed by NATO representative at this forum, yes, just an hour ago.
Good. Thank you for those comments. And Urmas, your final concluding remarks, please.
Yeah, well, on the one side, of course, the risks are there also for Arctic, because if you look at the geography, then all the superpowers are close neighbors. US, Russia, European Union. They all are neighbors in the same geographical environment. And secondly, of course, their resources. The same energy resources, the same new, well, transit routes, time to time also claims for some territories, so that all is there. But of course, in final end, there should be also certain common sense. So that I'd like still to end our 25 minutes with some positive remark, and I guess that, of course, it's possible that in final end we will see certain regime change in Russia. And then, step by step, I guess common sense is coming back. Also the security environment here in Arctic. So that, well, maybe, I don't know when, but maybe in one day, in some of the Arctic conferences, people will be, again, angry on me when I speak about security and Arctic in the same sentence. I hope it will happen. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for those remarks. Helsinki was the fora for the Olympics in 1952. Helsinki has also been the fora for the OSCE, which was 50 years ago. Now it's the Helsinki Security Forum. Thank you.